Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. In. Beautiful day. Please pray for those people in the path of that storm. It's now a Category 4, and I know that is awfully close to Houston. And I know so many of those people thank the Lord that Houston's on the left side. I don't know if you know about hurricanes. The right side of them are the ones that get the worst of the storm surge and all. There'll still be a lot of flooding, but pray for them because that is a very, very dangerous storm. And, you know, there's a lot of people that take that old notion of, oh, you know, we're going to stay here and weather it out, and that hasn't turned out well for a number of people that have done that in the past. I remember an apartment complex right in New Orleans when Katrina hit that we're going to do that, and they were going to party, and they did. And when that storm was over, there was nothing left but a slab, and I don't believe, if I remember hearing, they had never found any of them. They believe they were all carried back out when the storm surge went back out. So just lift those people up that they would take it serious. Because it is a very, very dangerous storm that they said they think can even intensify overnight. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Proverbs, 19th chapter. We're going to look at one verse, verse 21. I like this verse. To me, this verse just speaks to God's power. It speaks to God's dominion. It speaks to the omniscient. He's all science, the omnipotent, all power. And then what? Omnipresent. God is everywhere. The picture of what God's able to do. The picture of also, in a sense, almost like Nebuchadnezzar. You know, I'm reading in Daniel right now. And Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he thought he had it going on. He thought he was powerful. But I want to tell you what. In one snap of a finger, one word, one sentence, Nebuchadnezzar spent 7 years. Was it not 7 years? Out doing what? He grew scales and feathers like an animal out there, and God humbled him. But sadly, I think that's what it takes sometimes for all of us. But I know that God's plan, tonight's message is titled The Perfect Plan. And God's plans are perfect, His ways are perfect. And what I pray tonight's message does is encourage you and I to make sure that what our life is right now is what God has divinely intended it to be. It's not about what we want. It's not. Whether we like to think that, whether we want to think, well, these are my plans, and I'll pray that God blesses them if they are His, and if not, you know, maybe He'll redirect me. No, we actually shouldn't have the plans until they're God's plans. Something I want to share with you. Don't pray that God will bless your plan. Pray that He will and plan. Pray that His will and plan will always be our plan. So don't go and do what you're going to do and then say, God, bless my plan. No, pray that His will and His plan will always be what our will and our plan is. Because unless it's that way, it's ultimately going to end in heartache. It's going to end in pain. Hope you found Proverbs 19. Again, one verse, verse 21. If you're able physically, let's stand out of reverence tonight for the reading of God's word. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the Lord's decree will prevail. Father, thank you tonight for this privilege we have to read your word, God, the living, the blood-bought book. Father, every word straight from you. God, I pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts through the Holy Spirit's power. Move as only you can. We commit all of this to you. Hide me behind the cross. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part again. Many are the plans, or many plans are in a man's heart. Some of the versions say many are the plans of a man, but many are the plans of our hearts. We think, we've got this, we're going to do this, We get to figuring out a plan. We decide we're going to do this hobby. We're going to do whatever it is in life that you and I decide we're going to do. We establish a plan for it. Now, I know there's a lot of people that aren't much about planning, but guess what? Maybe they're plan as they go. You hear that. First thing I want to share with you tonight comes out of that first part of the verse, and it is this: make sure your plans are God's will. It's okay to have plans, but are those plans God's purpose for you? Are the plans that we have right now the ones that God wants us involved in? Is the new business venture that you're thinking about, is a new job that you want to take, is this ambition that you have for retirement one day and selfishly getting rid of your phone so you can sit somewhere and not be bothered anymore, is that God's plan or is that yours? If you continue to use your phone and you minister to people, if you're quote-unquote retired and you're bothered, right, and having to continue to engage people, do you think that that is going to be a more godly option than to do what many of us have the desire of thinking in our minds at least to do, that to go and extricate ourselves from society so we don't have to deal with this? Well, I can really look at the picture of what the gospel is and what God's call is. The second part would be as far from what God's will would be from someone that we can imagine. But see, our plans sometimes are the things that we focus on rather than what God's desire and His will is for our life. Now, why would we know that going and extricating ourselves, taking ourselves out of society, locking ourselves away on a piece of land in some foreign country in Alaska, why would we think that that could be against what God's will is? Because God has called us to go ye therefore and make disciples, teaching them everything I've commanded you. So the Great Commission is actually a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not the great suggestion. It's not, oh, if you have this grand ability to talk to people, then it's yours. But if not, that's okay. You just leave that up to the people that are gifted. No. That is a commandment to all of us. And by the way, show me in the Bible where God says to retire one day and go lock yourself in your house. It's not there, I'm sorry. Every one of the disciples ministered and gave up their lives and hearts to the truth, the gospel, and God's commission spiritually until when? They were either murdered or the one that retired, in a sense, was John. He was forced into retirement, forced into exile, forced into that place that we sometimes want to run to, isolation and alienation on the island of Patmos. The big question to us tonight is, are the plans that you and I are engaged in God's will? Are they? Because if they're not God's will, the only thing you're doing is what a hamster does on a wheel. You're going nowhere fast. It is so easy to fall into serving ourselves. Never forget a person many, many years ago that had gotten involved in church. Whole family gotten involved in church, young children, everything. And one day they came in and said, hey, we got a race car, we're gonna start racing. Well, I knew immediately when they said that, I don't know a whole lot about Duck River, but I know one thing: Saturday night's when they race. And they don't do it by 8 o'clock, and you get home by 9 or 10, get the race car put up so that you have a great ability to go to church on Sundays. No, they race until the wee hours of the morning, correct? My face dropped. I said, you won't be at church in 2 weeks. Oh, no, no, we made a commitment. We're going to be coming to church. That's the number one thing. We're going to be at church. We saw 1 week later, and after that, never came back again. Now remember, it was just a good hobby. It was just something to enjoy ourselves, to get us, do something as a family together. Make sure that your plans are God's will. There's not something inherently wrong with whatever those cars are called. What are they called? Dirt cars, whatever. Whether it's the dirt cars, whether it's the go-karts, whether it's the wagons. I don't care what it is. Whatever you and I do, if it is an avenue that has been prayed over and God leads you down it, it's not going to interfere with your mandate biblically to be a part of the fellowship that God has placed us in. Amen? If it prevents you from being what God has commanded us to do in Hebrews 10:25, not forsake the assembling, there is ultimately this question where we go, wait a second, this is starting to pull me to a place where I'm going to forsake the bride of Christ, the fellowship of believers that God calls us to. Whoa, let's back up a minute. But see, I can't answer that for you because you and I will always be faced with that, including myself. Are we going to submit ourselves, and as we did with the parents dedicating these children, they are making choices the same that my parents made choices and you made choices with your children. Are you going to show them that, listen, I don't care what happens, COVID is a joke compared to hell. COVID ain't got nothing on hell. 0.02% of people will die from COVID, but 100% of the people that end up in hell are spiritually dead, but they are physically alive for an eternity. COVID ain't got nothing on hell. But what has the enemy capitalized on? There's a church, one church that was in the Baptist Reflector, that's not having church till next year minimum. None of it, anything. No Sunday school, no worship. They're not going to have anything till next year. Good luck getting them back next year, people. Good luck. You know why? If I was one of the people right now that was in that church, you probably couldn't get me up out of my recliner after a year with a 90-pound jackhammer. If I was dumb enough to fall into saying, I'm going to find somewhere to worship. I understood in the beginning we didn't know about this thing, but I want to tell you what, we know a whole lot now. And I know one thing, hell's real. There is a whole lot of implications of this thing in the people that have not been diagnosed with heart attacks, strokes, and cancer during this time. If you guys have not heard about this, there is a windfall of people who have not been diagnosed and treated as a result of this. Catastrophic implications to people's health. But 0.02% of the population, it's heart-wrenching. The things that are happening, though. And you and I have to make these definitive decisions. Are we going to follow God's will and His plan? By the way, in about a week after next, we're going to have Sunday school. It's starting back. Amen? We're going to do it. If you don't feel comfortable with it, praise God. Stay home. Do what you pray about it until God gives you the peace about it. But I believe it's important to do it, and we're getting ready to do it. We're going to do it wisely. We're going to do it exactly how we should do it, in a safe manner. But at the end of the day, church, we can sit around, and in 2023, we might start coming back to church if we keep doing this. So I think it's important to recognize that these little ones in this church, we are missing enormous amounts of time to do what God's Word calls us to do, and that's impress. We need one another. We need the fellowship of believers, and we are doing the old saying. We're getting this train going. It's going to go. And I know one thing. Hey, if something happened ultimately, yes, it falls on my shoulders. And to God be the glory, I'll take the responsibility for it, because that's biblically. I put my power, my strength, my hope, my everything in King Jesus. And that's what I've got to do. And I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I have such a comfort about doing it. I have such a peace about doing it. But I have no peace with continuing not to do it. I have been wrenched inside about it, and it's time to get the... My old uncle used to say this, it's time to get the show on the road. Amen? And I know we don't get this time back with our kids, and I think it's vitally important. Miss Linda, I can't believe you didn't holler amen just a second ago. I just about thought Miss Linda was going to do a shout and happy dance back here. But moving on to the second part of that verse. All right, so many are the plans of a man's heart. Second part. But the Lord's, says decree there, will prevail. Some versions say the Lord's will prevail. God's purpose will prevail. Second thing I want to share with you is from that part. And it's the final thing tonight. God's perfect plan brings true peace. I want to put it up here sometime. I want to put it on the wall. I want to do somewhere. It's got to be somewhere. I was actually talking to someone at length over the last number of months about this, and it's called the flow chart. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I say, if you've ever talked to you about the flow chart in our lives? The flow chart's this. There's got to be a number one. There's something in your life that takes top precedence, and there's only one person that can take that, and it's God. God. Can't be your job, can't be protecting your kids, can't be protecting your wife, your husband, cannot be anything other than God if you want true peace, true joy, true hope, and experience the abundant life that God created us to live. By the way, this doesn't mean health, wealth, and prosperity. It means His will, which is abundant, abundantly clear, abundantly pure, and abundantly holy. So you've got God at the top. And the second part of that is family. Husband, husband's wife, guess what? It's husband and wife, and then guess what? Kids are under that. That falls in the family unit, but there's even a flow. Oh, well, I take care of my kids before I do my spouse. Oh, really? Good luck with that one. When you get divorce papers or find out that somebody's walked out on you, good luck. Put your kids over your spouse and you'll lose your family. I mean this because I'm seeing it in our culture all over the place. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. I remember when Emily had this talk with our kids about that. You would have thought that she had told them she didn't love them. It was like a, one of them got amnesia tonight. But that happens. Because what happens is those kids believe, well, I'm the child, and, you know, the husband or the wife, they're second fiddle. If you're doing that, you know what you're doing. You're cutting your throat. Because I said this, I think, when I had the dedication. If the relationship between husband and wife isn't good and isn't right, they're never going to be together for the kids. It is vitally important that the relationship of the husband and wife, the family unit, be top priority. God first, husband and wife, and the kids are under that. Because guess what? One day your kids are leaving. They're gone. They're out. As a matter of fact, you smother them too much, they won't come back. They're going to run, and they're going to run far. So put the flow chart in the proper order. Ready? God, husband and wife, family part, second part of that family unit, children, church body, everything else, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Everything else falls below that. How's your flow chart? How's your flow chart? Your flow chart is going to directly affect your personal fulfillment, your peace, your joy, and every bit of it. If you've got a spiritual issue and you and God aren't tracking, you know, you're okay with the spiritual stuff, or you have friends, and you're going, you know, they talk about spiritual stuff, but everything's a tragic wreck, but I see them, they're insolent, they're arrogant, they're boastful, they're just full. I don't understand. They're always talking about wanting this, or they want this, or they want this, but I don't ever hear about wanting God's will and what God's plan and purpose is. Flowchart's messed up. We have a tendency to put ourselves above God. You realize this? We do. How is anything ever going to be right, though, guys, if you're the husband in the house? You're the one directly responsible for being, what does the Bible say? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. You are to be a godly leader with integrity, with character, and it's never fun. I'm telling you, it's not. I'd do anything to abdicate, to get rid of that position. I don't like it. I don't even like having to be the shepherd, the pastor of a church. I love doing what God wants me to do. But I don't like to be the one that people come to when things aren't going well. I don't. I want them to go to somebody else because I don't like conflict, and I don't want to have to deal with people when they're really struggling and stressful. I don't mind doing that. But there's always going to be a bad guy. When you've got an issue and a conflict, guess what happens? You look how God's word says there's always going to be one person that's mad because you didn't side with them. So what does that automatically mean? Every time, there's going to be somebody that's upset. I don't like that. I don't want that. I want to be the guy that sits there and gets to laugh with you and rejoice with you when things are going wonderful in life. But that's not life, is it? Pastors right now, thank God we didn't have this here. To glory, hallelujah. I sent the article to a few of you this week. Pastors right now that were being honest about struggling with suicidal thoughts in a big way. If you didn't read that article this week, please let me know. I think every person on the planet needs to read this that's involved in a church or in ministry. These pastors, one of them was honest. He said, you know, I'm struggling. I've been battling wanting to take my life. The majority of these pastors end up saying, I've been battling the same thing. Some of these pastors, you ready? They've got split congregations. Half of them said, we need to reopen or I'm going to another church. The other one said, if you reopen, I'm going to another church. They said, no matter what happens. And they said, one guy opened up the church, somebody died. He's got this immense guilt. He's battling himself, wanting to take his own life because he feels such guilt and responsibility for the situation. But see, That's the part of leadership that we have to understand. Sometimes we have to make decisions. And that's why I have the greatest respect for our president right now. Because there's decisions that have to be made, and there's no one that's ever going to agree with all of your decisions, period. Especially when you have an absolute disgraceful media like we have in this country that has done nothing but tear the man apart. No matter what he does, highlight the bad things about his character before office, and guess what? Not a word about the number of babies that have been saved in the last almost 4 years. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. And many of you have seen how many lives have been saved. The fighting for the religious freedoms that we have in this nation right now, more than any in history. Look at the embassy, y'all. Do you realize until, 2 years ago, no other president in history would dare have done what he did to move, the embassy back to where it's supposed to have been. Do you know what that signified? What? That Jerusalem is the capital of it, that Israel and Jerusalem are where they should be, and that's what it should be. Praise God. But that's what leadership is. You're going to have people shooting at you continually no matter what you do. That's why it's important in our homes for that flow structure always to be right, people. Always. Always remember, God's perfect plan brings true peace. God's perfect flow chart in us doing that will bring true, perfect peace. Because what? When you and I are on the plan that God has for our life and we are in His will, it's perfect. There's no indecision unless it's the carnal flesh that has it. Somebody talked to somebody today, and they won't give information, but somebody started praying. I've been talking to this person about prayer for a long time, and they made a decision to start praying big time. So they started, I'm talking about serious about it. They didn't even have a jar with it, and they started writing the prayers in there, and they put them and start praying over jars. First day, they write out their prayers, put it in the jar, and they said, that night, I had one of the most horrific dreams I've ever had in my life. You know what I said? I said, praise God. They looked at me. I said, you know why? Because you've ticked off the enemy. And I just said, let me tell you what you do now. I said, you put those things in there at night, you keep praying over those, because I tell you what you've done. You've made the enemy mad. You're praying over something that's going to get victory, that's going to change lives. And I said, you keep doing that. I said, but then go an extra step now. You pray that God would guard your heart, would guard your mind, would guard your spouse, would guard your children, would guard your home, your property, your church body. And I said, you pray till you fall asleep. You don't allow the enemy 2 seconds of dominion in the real estate of your brain until you fall asleep. You know what will happen? He'll get tired of it, because I know this for a fact. You stop dreaming. You don't dream. I don't dream. Very, very, very rarely do I ever even have a dream anymore. And my wife will tell you, I had a terrible bout with night terrors years ago before I started praying like this. But see, that dominion that he's allowed to have, because I didn't understand why this happened. I said, because he is a liar. He's the prince of the power of the air. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers, dark forces in the heavenly realms. What you're fighting is a spiritual battle. And when you walked up just like David with Goliath to that battle line, and you in a sense picked up that sling by putting that prayer in there and praying over this and getting serious about it, he said, uh-oh, I got to stop this. And I said, I'm going to tell you what. They told me the dream, and I just said, you need to be very, very careful with what this dream was about. I said, because it was so shocking to you that you got to be really, really careful. Because what will happen is things will get tough in your life. And don't ever say that the things that happened in that dream could never happen. Don't ever dare say that, oh, I would never do what was in this dream. Don't ever say it. I say, by God's restraining power, by God's grace, God would restrain me to never do what was in this dream that I had. Because I said, what will happen is, see, things will get tough at home. And you'll find yourself one day, just like I have over the years, I've heard my father counseling people, and what I've dealt in the 20 years of hearing people who at one point in their lives, I would never, to one day wake up in a position going, how in the world did I end up here? I said, a compromise is very small. It's slow and see. when we're in God's perfect plan, when we have listened, cried out to him in prayer, listened to him and been on our knees before him in prayer and in his word, what happened? He clearly, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, makes our path straight. He opens the doors. It is unequivocally where he wants us. So what begins to happen as we continue to pray that we would stay in God's will is the moment that we begin to vary from that in any way, we realize it. We know that we're not where we need to be. That's what happens. So tonight, make sure your plans are God's will. Make sure they're not what you want. Make sure they're not your dreams, your hopes, and your desires. Make sure they are God's will. Because you'll never find what you're looking for if it's not. Tonight, the other part about this is, I was saying to the other person that I was speaking with about the flow chart, is I said, you will see this systemic, meaning systems like a tree with a stem, you'll see the issue of a lack of peace in people's lives when they're not yielded first in that flow chart with God, because you will see ultimately the biggest thing that ends up happening is they blame shift everything. They never accept responsibility for their own actions. Everybody in their life, they're miserable, and the more you get farther out of God's will, the more miserable you become and the more blame shifting you do. Oh, well, only if my husband and my wife were this way, I wouldn't be doing that. If my kids weren't this, if my boss wasn't this, if my job wasn't this, if he hadn't, if she hadn't, if they hadn't, if they... It's called blame shifting. You know what it's a picture of? It's ultimately a root of a person's individual heart, because, yes, you can get in a pretty rough situation where you've got some bad hombres around you. But when everybody everywhere, including your accountability and your spiritual life, everyone is out of order, do me a favor. Put your arm over the seat and look in the rearview mirror. Because you know what you'll quickly find out? When you look through the rearview mirror, there's usually an issue with the own person's heart. See, God's perfect plan leaves us in that place where even if things are difficult, as I was reading today, with Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't worried about Facebook, what everybody thought about their life. They didn't say, you know, they're saying they've got this big statue right now, and, you know, I just think it'd be so judgmental if I wasn't able to, and everybody's saying, well, you know, you might want to just conform. No, they decided that they were going to first honor and glorify Christ, and they didn't care what everyone else thought. They weren't even going to shut their curtains so that no one could see them praying in the house. They did exactly how they were doing it, and they weren't going to stop doing it the way they were. What was the punishment? Do you realize that their statement was, if God desires not to rescue us, that's okay. I'm paraphrasing. They recognize that God could deliver us, but if he doesn't, that's okay too. They were doing their part. Was there a promise that God was going to deliver them when, by the way, the biggest, baddest, toughest, I bet that guy looked like Mike Atlas walking up there, those soldiers, no joke, because they got the biggest, the most strongest ones they had. And you know what happened when they went up there to throw them in, right? It killed them. That's how hot the fire was. That's how incredibly outraged Nebuchadnezzar was. God showed himself faithful because they were completely in the will of God, and God's desire for them was not to take them home at that moment. You think God can do that for us today? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that. I don't think we believe that at sometimes. I think we fight with the faith to believe that God could deliver us supernaturally like that. You just really need to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, Jesus Freaks, DC Talks 1. If you want to see up to modern day things happening this very day all over the world to Christians, read it. It's amazing. Yes, there are ones who are dying, but there's also ones that are being delivered. The voice of the martyrs will share story after story about even angels that have come and protected people. God still does it. But in order to experience the divine protection or even divine dying grace from God, we must be in God's plan for our life. Why am I so compelled and so, this message so heavy on my heart in this sense? Because there's no other place to find what I share with you tonight. There's no other place. You watch the news, enjoy it. I'm done with it. I read it online all over the world. I am done with enough of the filth. It's like watching a true presentation of the National Enquirer from 1982 when you looked on the shelf. It is a joke. Enjoy it. But I want to tell you one thing. I'm done living like that, because it is like your mind being taken captive by a sideshow at a carnival. And I found myself becoming more and more incensed and angry at the lies, the misinformation that people that have no clue are swallowing hook, line, and sinker, like they did Kool-Aid at Jonestown in Africa when Jim Jones went down to take the people down there. Yes, I must know what's going on, and I read solid information sources to find out what's going on so I can understand it from a spiritual perspective biblically. And I think that's important to do. I can't hide my head in the sand like you can either. But I want you to know something. To stay in God's perfect plan and will for my life is not to allow the enemy to turn my mind into a playground of filth, lies, and disinformation. And the same way that I know it is because of the disgraceful stuff that's being said about the leadership of our country. I know it's completely out of context of God's word and completely against God's word. Because the Bible says, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Submit to the authority that God has allowed to be in office. So what I know with what's being done, it is straight from hell. It has nothing to do with truth and righteousness. It has nothing more to do than assassinate the character and do anything possible to accomplish the agenda of someone who disdains everything that the people, including Franklin Graham, that surround the man that's in the office, speaking truth into his life, and so many things being done for Christ, for the gospel, for truth. And God's perfect plan, I know, brothers and sisters, will not be accomplished until the Lord Jesus comes back to us. But I know one thing. I want to do everything in my power to live a life that will honor, that will glorify, and that will bring glory and honor to King Jesus. And if you want to do that tonight, you want to make sure that God's will and his plan is being lived out in your life. If you don't know tonight, I would encourage you that when we have our invitation to say, you know, I don't really know if I'm in God's will and plan for my life. I don't at all. I don't have any. Now, you might say, you know what? I believe I am. And that's okay. Hey, sit in there and pray all day long. But if you don't know whether you are, literally, you make a sacrificial walk up to the altar tonight and say, God, tonight I don't know where I'm at. I don't know if I'm doing what you want me to do, but I want to. And you know what you're doing by saying that? You are humbling yourself before him, and you are saying, God, I want to be in your will. I want your perfect plan that brings peace, true peace, lasting peace, that starts with the flow chart being in the direct place and order that it should. And tonight, Lord, I am making a concerted effort, Father, to make sure that my life is being lived how you've called me to, how you commanded me to. Lord, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I don't know what 5 minutes from now is going to bring. You know who else doesn't? You're looking at him. You know what it's not going to change, though? My obedience to do what God has called me to do. Is it going to change what you're doing right now? Because you're, you know what? We got another 200 years before Christ comes back. Huh? We got time. No, we don't. Because there's people outside of this church wall in this neighborhood tonight that don't know Jesus. How are they ever going to know Christ if you and I, in one way or another, are not able to reach them with the gospel? Imagine if we continue to live in fear and not have Sunday school class, and our children continue not to have that ability. Yes, Miss Linda's been incredible, and Trevor and all these have tried to have these classes, but it's not the same. It's not the same. The enemy shut down our kids being able to last 2 weeks because of problems with the Zoom. It's not the same. We need each other. They need you. We all need each other. So we can sit back and continue in this fear of going, oh no, what if the Lord comes back tomorrow? Guess what we've done? We lost five or what? How long is it now? 6 months? It's getting ready to be September. Five, almost 6 months. My friend that did our preaching, Danny Hale, said, got 2 years left. My statement to him was, Danny, you don't know if you have 2 years left. And guess what? He didn't. He died in November, wasn't it, Mama? He's going to retire in May, whatever it was. He never made it. Don't live on assumption. Live in God's will. Live in that perfect plan he has for your life. If you need to get the flow chart right tonight, Mom and Dad, kids, make sure it's right. You know why? You'll never have the peace. You'll never have the security and the ultimate long-term ability to watch God, because what happens is, this is the truth, we take our kids, it's easy to do, and put them in that place that they never should be. Hey, husbands, you better love your wife as Christ loved the church. You know why? Because if you're not doing it, you're out of God's will. Remember, there's people watching online. That's why I go into this a little deeper sometimes. You might go, man, I didn't know I love my wife. There's people that watch online that don't. And maybe one of those people tonight that's listening online, God just smacked them with one of those big, huge rubber fists that you watch and they put them on the box with. Those are those things that we don't understand. There's people that'll see this message months from now. But this is the biggest part. Tonight, are leaving here doing our part? Are you going to leave here doing your part? Is this place in that flow chart tonight needs to be reorganized? If it does, don't leave here tonight out of that. Get it right, get it straight, and leave here tonight as a blessed, a blessable entity that God can use for his glory. Father, thank you tonight for your word. God, we thank you that though we can have all these plans, what ultimately matters is that yours prevail. Father, I pray tonight that as we have this invitation, that anybody who is struggling with that, Lord, struggling with where their place is and where you want them to be and your will in their life, would decide tonight, Father, to, in a sense, let the structure be rearranged by you into the plan, the perfect peace, Lord, and your will for their life. Father, tonight, Lord, if one is here tonight that may not recognize that they're kind of struggling, Lord, with relationships, friendships, Lord, and they don't know what to do, God, we know that you do, and by laying that down at your feet, Father, thank you that you'll give us strength, and in that humility, God, you will fix what in many circumstances we don't even know how to begin fixing. Father, I thank you, though, it's through Jesus Christ, Lord, that ability happens. I thank you for each person here, Lord, ones that are watching now online and ones that will watch in the coming months, Father. I pray that you would use your word and let it go forth in a mighty way to accomplish your purpose. And Lord, we know it's such a struggle sometimes when we see things in governing structures, Father, when we see things in local states and the way things are being handled that frustrate us. But God, ultimately, all we've got to do is do what your word says, and we will be blessed in that, Lord. You will show us that perfect peace and show that you will work all things out according to your will when we trust you to do what you do, and you have been doing it, and God, you will continue to. Thank you for your faithfulness. And Father, we just give all of this, and we ask it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You want to pray tonight by yourself? Hey, you want to pray for all these ones with cancer right now? It's so heavy on my heart with Bob's mom, myriad of people, Hannah's mom, a lot of people fighting things like that. Pray for them. I know Bob's mom's been really fighting being sick. Hannah's mom's been really sick with this chemo, so they need to be lifted up in prayer. Neil with his heart stuff, all of us, we all are, there's a lot of things going on in a lot of people's lives, but God is bigger than all of it, amen? God can do what the word says, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. The people that God's laid on your heart in your neighborhood, maybe you're thinking about someone that, you know, I haven't really said anything to them, maybe I need to. Start praying for them. Get up here week in and week out until they either get saved or they die. Start laying these people down and continue, though. Prayer is not about praying about it one time or two times. Prayer is praying it through until we get an answer. What about your marriage? What about your relationship? What about your parents that may not know Christ? What about your children that might be prodigals right now? Why don't you get serious about laying them down week in and week out and humble? Get some people praying with you. We do it right here. Get them praying over it. Get them praying over our neighborhoods, our school systems right now, this COVID nightmare. The state of our nation and our world, for that matter. Get serious about it. And I'll tell you what God will do. He'll do exceeding abundantly above all that he can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And even as God is raising up two men that are in school right now for ministry, they don't know where God wants them, but they're, you want to pray for some people? Start praying. Pray for our kids. Pray for their future spouses. Pray that God would continue to lead us in his perfect will and his peace for our life. Pray for all the new brothers and sisters in Christ that God's blessed us with here. God has been so good. Amen? We've got so much to be thankful for, but we have so much more that we can lift up and get serious about that perfect plan that God has for our life. Come. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.